The following is a presentation of the Ed Boston Podcast Network.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the podcast. Today we are going to be very specific on what we talk about. Amy's here with me, and if you know our history, you know that we actually even have a Facebook page called Pro-Life News and Views with Amy Boston. And so, if you've not been living under a rock this week, you know that the abortion law in New York that was passed is, Christians are in an outrage all over the world. Liberals are celebrating, and I use that word literally. They are celebrating the passage of this law, so much so that New York Governor Cuomo ordered several different places in New York City, including One World Trade Center, what is there now in place of the two Twin Towers, lit up in pink. There was bridges and all kind of different things that we'll get into maybe later on where that was. I guess that's where it was, and in the state isn't as important as the fact that they literally celebrated an abortion law that expanded things. I just want to say hi before I let you go ahead and start rolling on this, but welcome to the show, dear.
Thank you.
Glad that you can be a part of this. You're back to work and back into the swing of things, kinda, forcefully, right?
Yes.
But,
yes.
We are glad that we could do this. And you know, I don't even really know where to start. I want to start by...
Well, we need to start off with prayer.
Very good idea. Let's do that. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us, and we thank you for opening our eyes to the realities of the world, Father. And the reality of what we're talking about today is horrible, in a word. And that's a mild word compared to what it really is. Father, we ask you to forgive our country for allowing murder of unborn babies. Father, protect those that you've loved. And we know that you love unborn babies because your word says that you knew us while we were still in our mother's womb. Father, help us as we talk about this topic to be knowledgeable, to say the right things, and show our outrage in a manner that brings glory to you, Father. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Nothing like the preacher having to be reminded to start out in prayer. I guess... There's so many different avenues, and I've already read where a person that was responding to another on the topic said, you know, well, this only allows this, this, and this. And the problem is that this law basically decriminalizes abortion after a certain number of weeks. I think 24 is what it was in New York. And the wording tries to be deceptive. in that their use the term about affecting the mother's health. Do you see where I'm going with that?
Right.
I mean, about what they're saying there. All the way up until, I believe it states, the due date.
Well, and that includes until minutes before the baby's born. Due date is until due, you know, until that baby is born.
Well, one of the first things I want to bring up about it is that it's not new.
No, it is not new.
As a matter of fact, there are several states where this already is legal. The following states don't have any prohibitions on abortion later in pregnancy, and that would be Alaska, Colorado, the District of Columbia, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, Oregon, and Vermont.
Isn't that sickening?
And so we add New York to the mix now. And 24 other states make an exception allowing late-term abortions for the sake of the mother's general health. Pro-life advocates contend that the generic health exception essentially allows abortions on demand, saying late-term abortions can be allowed in any state that have a generic exception for the health of the mother.
Right.
You've done a lot of research. You know a lot about this. What is the health of the mother exception?
Well, they consider generic health of the mother if that mother decides that having that child is going to cause her mental distress, that's going to affect her general health, and so she can decide to abort that child at any stage within that pregnancy because that's going to affect her general health. If she finds out while she's in labor that that child has red hair and she didn't want a red-headed baby, that's going to cause her mental distress because of people may not, may or may not make fun of this child later in life because she is, they will call him or her a ginger or whatever names that they use for red-headed babies, which I have two red-headed babies. I think they're absolutely adorable. I love red-headed children. I love children, period. So I don't care what color hair. But she could say that that would cause mental anguish, which is going to affect her general health.
Now, let me ask you this, and with that, I can almost hear a liberal response to what you just said was, listen to her. She's just making that stuff up. Just making it sound like we're going to kill every baby. And what would you say to that?
It's their terms. This is using their terms. They're the ones that came up with general health. If they need to be a more descriptive, what's their terms of general health?
Who gets to determine what general health
absolutely
means?
What's their determination of that?
Because I'm reading a story here from CBN, and it says, we just said that 24 states make an exception, but there are other states make it clear that the mother's life or physical health must be at risk, which seems to be proof of the pro-life claim. So the claim that basically anything goes in those 24 states, the 10 or more now that we mentioned earlier. So we're up way over half of the country where late-term abortion is just okay.
It's just pathetic is what it is. They're worried about the lives of the mother. What about the lives of the children they're taking?
Well, and we will go on record right here of saying that we don't believe that any abortion is acceptable.
Absolutely.
Zero abortion. But when you think about the late term abortion ought to just make you sick.
Oh, absolutely.
Any abortion should, but late term abortion. We've seen children that were born early.
Right.
Way early. We know of two cases that we know of really good here in the last, I don't know, 2 to 4 years of children that were born so premature that they never thought they would make it. And
right.
Now you can look at pictures of them and they're happy and they're healthy. And the latest one is just turned 2 not too long ago.
Absolutely. And is a gorgeous little girl.
Beautiful. And to think, when you look at a picture of when they were born, they weren't even at the very end.
Right.
They were in less than 30 weeks.
Right, right.
Maybe even 25 or less.
Mm-hmm.
And so you look at, let's say a woman is in her 38th week, a week before the due date. What is different between the baby that's in the mother's stomach and the baby a week later when they're not in their stomach? Is there much different? Is much going to take place in that week?
Weight gain, maybe.
Maybe a little bit of a weight gain. But, I mean, if something happened and they had to take that baby at 38 weeks, it's not even going to be considered high risk, is it?
Nope, it's not.
I mean, depending on the reason they had to take it, it might be, but not just because of the age.
Right. It's way, way, way viable. Way. I mean, that baby is survival rate at 38 weeks is, I mean, extremely high. I mean, that baby would have to be extremely ill for it to not survive. With something besides a prematurity issue, because that's not a premature infant at 38 weeks.
Well, I'm reading another article here that says this: hypocrisy, homicide, and horrors are New York's brand new license to kill viable babies, sparks intense outrage. And those words are accurate. Hypocrisy. You know, total different subjects, but I told you this not too long ago. All of the outrage about what's going on at the border, and all those people are important, and they are, and all those children, and a couple of them passed away, and liberals went nuts because two kids passed away. I posted something on my Facebook, and you know, it just went crazy.
Right.
People arguing, bickering back and forth. And after that, I said, you know, I really wish I would post this, but it would just start World War III, basically, on Facebook. But I said to you that I wanted to tell people, don't come to me with your concerns about the live children on the border if you are a supporter of abortion.
Absolutely.
Don't act like you care about kids when millions die every day and you're okay with that. And people would say, on this topic, I always envision what the other side would say. Most of them would say, we're not in favor of abortion. Most of us don't want abortion. We just want the right to have one. So, you know, back to the point, don't come to me with your concern about children and say abortion is okay. Now, late-term abortion is okay, I want to ask you another question with that. What happens in a late-term abortion? How's that performed?
Well, I think the way they're doing it now so that they absolutely do not have live births are they're giving the baby's lethal injections directly into the heart guided by ultrasound. They were doing partial birth abortions to where they would deliver the baby partially out of the womb, all but the head, and then they would inject or they would take a pair of surgical scissors and open up the neck and put a hole in the neck and then use a suction device and suction out the brain and the brain stem, which is a sure death. I mean, there's no baby that is going to survive that.
But they're not doing that so much anymore.
Well, and they may still be doing that, but they also are they're also given lethal injections into the heart and doing the partial birth and still suctioning out the brain stem, because just the lethal injection into the heart, they're still having babies born alive. But they can do the lethal injection and then check to see if the baby's heart rate has stopped. But if the mothers see that ultrasound and see that baby moving and see that needle, they're more apt to not want that to happen because they see that baby moving. They feel that baby moving. You know, at that age, they know that child is alive. I cannot comprehend in my head how at that stage a mother sees her stomach move when that baby moves. Mm-hmm. She feels every movement that child makes. Anybody that is standing in front of her can see and feel movement that child makes. I don't get it. Early second trimester babies, they've tested amniotic fluid. They can taste. If that amniotic fluid is sweetened, they drink more. If it's soured, they stop drinking as much. It's proven that they feel pain. If a needle is stuck in there and is touch, if that baby feels it, they will move to one side of the womb or the other to shy away from that pain. They feel pain. And these babies are being executed with no pain medicine whatsoever. They are given absolutely nothing to dull the pain when they're being killed.
This could be an hours, plural, long show. I don't know how to say contest, and definitely not a contest podcast. So I'm going to try to keep us looking at some specific things. Here is a quote from Allison Cinefante, who is the director of strategic communications at Live Action, which I've got some more things from Live Action I'll talk about in a minute. She wrote this: New York Governor Cuomo wants to regulate potentially poisonous chemicals in cleaning products, but champions the poisoning, dismemberment, and fatality of children in the womb during abortion. Can't use certain chemicals to clean our kitchen, but we can use whatever chemicals are necessary to abort a baby.
To kill our children, absolutely. It makes zero sense.
All right, we'll be back in just a second. We just talked about chemicals that Governor Cuomo would like to regulate, but, those might kill somebody or something like that. Where abortion pretty much always is successful. I mean, not always. There are abortion survivors out there. But we could talk about lots of different things. I mean, lots of people use an example of what would happen if you killed a bunch of puppies. and the outrage that there would be shown over that.
Right.
There's animal cruelty laws in place.
Right.
And so...
Kill a puppy and go to jail.
And again, I know that the other side would say... well, that's a little bit, you know, over the top. Comparing babies and puppies.
Oh, it is over the top. Because killing a baby, you go to... Or killing a puppy, and you go to jail. There are stricter animal cruelty laws than there are for our children. Because you can have an abortion, a late-term abortion, to the day of that child's birth, and it's okay in all these states. And there, it's not homicide. It's not illegal to do. Mm-hmm. But if you kill a puppy, there are animal cruelty laws, and you will go to jail. It doesn't make sense. If you kill or you have a dog, a female dog that is pregnant, and you kill her or cause her to miscarry, that's animal cruelty. You cannot do that. But we can kill our human babies, and that's okay.
I want to hear some real irony. I don't know that you read this article, and you may have, but we're going to talk in a minute. We mentioned at the beginning about the celebrations of lighting One World Trade Center up. Here is an ironic quote coming from the Susan B. Anthony list. How tragic. Governor Cuomo orders World Trade Center to be lit pink to celebrate new law in New York permitting unborn babies to be killed by abortion up until birth, while the World Trade Center memorial below bears the names of 11 unborn children who lost their lives in the 9/11 attacks.
Wow.
Got to be craziness, isn't it?
Well, and we talked about this as well. What do they do about the drunk drivers that hit a pregnant woman and she loses a baby? How do they charge that drunk driver? Because they've taken the homicide portion out of that. They can't charge him with infanticide because that's no longer in.
You're talking about they can't charge the doctors with that after performing the...
Well, right, but what are they going to charge the drunk driver with?
Well, that's a topic way over my pay grade, but we could sit here and speculate, but that would be a good topic to have someone that is in the law profession to share with us, because...
It's just something I'm curious about. How are they going to go around that?
Well,
you know, I mean, those are things that are going to come up that, you know, make no sense. They've got the names of these unborn children on the bottom of the World Trade Center that they've lit up pink because they're celebrating killing children.
And to me, why would you need to celebrate that law?
Oh, why would you even put celebrate and killing children in? I mean, it doesn't even, that just boggles my mind. I mean, I understand they don't think that it's killing children, but I don't understand how they're justifying it.
Well,
when do they consider this a child? How about after that baby is born? You know, what's 10 minutes after birth? After that baby's born and that mother decides then that it's going to cause her mental anguish, who's going to hold the gun to that baby's head and shoot it? or put it out of, you know, put it out of the mother's misery then. Would they do it then? They were willing to do it 10 minutes prior to that. There's 10 minutes difference or 2 minutes difference. There's no difference in that baby's life except one now that's breathing oxygen and before it was breathing amniotic fluid. There's no difference except for what it's breathing. It's still a human, living human being. So because it was going to have a general effect on her well-being then, 2 minutes later, it's going to have a general effect on her. She just realized that. So who's going to take care of that problem?
Well, I guess we're fortunate that at least a baby is protected once it's born.
Absolutely, we're fortunate.
And unfortunately, it wasn't protected 10 minutes ago or 2 minutes ago. Or.
And I'm sure that there's people out there going, listen to her, she's such a radical and she's, you know, way out there. But these are things that, what does 2 minutes make a difference or 10 minutes make a difference? Because that baby was breathing amniotic fluid is the only difference.
Yep. Absolutely.
It's not that because you take that amniotic fluid away that we magically have a human. It's not that way. That baby had a heartbeat. It had organs. It had arms. It had legs. It had a brain. It had motor function. It had taste buds. It had fingerprints. It had a heartbeat 19 days after it was conceived.
I was going to say, it had those things for several months.
Absolutely. 19 days after it was conceived, it had a heartbeat.
Yeah.
So, if it has a heartbeat, it's alive.
Well, and I want to segue into the next aspect of this, because again, there are so many ways we can go. I could sit here and I could have pulled out Bible verse after Bible verse after Bible verse that backs the way we believe.
Sure.
Done that before. Not going to do it now. I'm just going to go with, we believe that the Bible is very, very specific about this subject.
Absolutely.
Now, we know throughout history that the wrath of God is real. We know from the birth of Jesus that governments getting involved in killing children is not a new thing. Thus, Jesus and his parents had to escape into Egypt because Herod had put out the law that all children under 2 years of age had to be killed. That's a government putting on a law, a rule, whatever they would have called it at that point in time, killing kids.
Right.
So it's not new. But we know the wrath that God has shown throughout history. And my question is, and it's just it's not a specific question to is God going to punish our nation, or is God already punishing our nation because of sins of the nation like this? I mean, he struck down entire cities. He condemned entire groups of people. Do we just keep pushing God's buttons? and ignoring him and thumbing our nose at him. And when I say we are the United States of America. It's our tax dollars that right. go into killing babies. The wrath of God is going to become real, and I have to believe that, you know, I'm not a prophet. I'm not going to claim to be a prophet. But I got to believe that God's getting pretty sick and tired of what's going on in the United States of America.
He's got to be. He's got to be.
If he knew us while we were still in our mother's womb, that means there to know something, there's got to be something, right?
Well, it says he formed us. He knit us together.
And so it's his handiwork.
Absolutely.
That man is deciding to wipe away.
Yep.
And, I mean, I could preach sermon after sermon on topics about this.
Right.
But what I really want to focus on is the wrath of God. And, you know, I don't think that people today understand the wrath of God. I mean, think about it. Total different subject, but look at Sodom and Gomorrah. And I'm not going into that topic, but I'm saying, look at what he did to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Absolutely.
Hellfire and brimstone rained down.
Right.
The wrath of God is real, and to me, and I think any God-fearing person should be scared to death of what the wrath of God might be.
Absolutely.
Or maybe even better said, will be. Because even if he decides not to do something directed at our country, the wrath of God will be felt on Judgment Day.
Oh.
So the wrath of God is going to be real. And hellfire and brimstone is going to be real at some point. And I just don't think we understand that. And there's been more this week of the Christian community being outraged, but it's just like every other topic. We'll be outraged for a few days. Life will go on, and the next topic will come up. And nothing gets done.
Right.
You know, at what point do Christians say, we're not going to allow that to take place? And if that's the case, what does that mean? Is that threats of violence? Is that, you know, I know where the other side goes with this. Oh, yeah, you'll shoot abortion doctors and this and that. But are we going to continue to allow our country to live, not just live in sin, but commit horrible sins that are, if they're permitted by the government, then basically they're sanctioned by the government.
Right.
And, oh well. You know,
it's a sad state of affairs that this country is in, and you're exactly right. People need to be... You need to be right with our Maker. We have got to be, because when Judgment Day comes, everybody is going to stand before the throne, and you're going to have to answer for everything that we've done. And when God asks me why I didn't stand up for those babies, you know, I'm going to have to say, God, I worked on that. I tried. You know, I'm going to say, we did our best. You know, this world is going to have to answer for why they didn't stand up for the lives of his children. And everybody's going to have to answer for that, because thousands of his babies are being killed every single day because our government's allowing it and because of people are doing it. I mean, it's just, it's sad. You know, there's anywhere from 5,000 to 5,500 babies every day being killed.
I'm glad you brought up some numbers, because listen to some of these numbers just on the state of New York. The bill states that New York's outdated laws have proved burdensome to women seeking to assert their constitutionally protected right to abortion. Well, that's a problem right there. If our Constitution protects murderers, then we got a problem.
Really?
But it says, looking at the numbers, current New York law doesn't appear to discourage women from abortion at all. You know, this is supposed to be a step in the right direction, but with all these archaic laws, with quotes there, look at what's already been happening. This is for 2015. New York City performed 544 abortions for every 1,000 live births.
Oh my goodness.
That means roughly 1 in 3 unborn babies are aborted in the city of New York. 1 in 3. That also means the New York City's abortion rate makes up more than half of the city's birth rate. With the state's voluntary reported data, which you got to wonder how accurate voluntary data would be.
Right.
The CDC found that 63,646 abortions occurred in the New York City during 2015. 60, that's a time and a half of our town's population.
Man.
That'd be like coming in here and wiping out the whole city and then add another 20,000 on top of it.
Right.
That just boggles my mind. They occurred in New York City with 32.8 abortions per 1,000 women between the ages of 15 and 44.
Oh my goodness.
New York, with the city and the state combined, saw a lower number in 2015. And on our side, we're not going to celebrate a lower number because what we'll just go on. I'm not even going to get irritated. New York State performed 93,096 abortions, with 23.1 abortions per 1,000 women of childbearing age. It counted for 392 abortions per 1,000 live births.
Wow.
The rest of the country doesn't even come close to 93,000. The next highest abortion rate is in Florida, 72,000. Texas, 53,000. That's keeping in mind that three states, California, Maryland, and New Hampshire, refused to report their abortion statistics.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
So, you know, I'm thinking California probably rivals New York.
Oh, in a heartbeat, I'm sure.
So, Maryland and New Hampshire, Maryland's a fairly, you know, large state. New Hampshire's obviously a small state. But, so the numbers are actually way worse than what's reported.
Right.
Meanwhile, the media praised the abortion rate in the CDC's report for 2015 that was released in November of 2018. I guess there's so many abortions that it takes them 3 years to count them.
Well, and that's probably true.
For being at a historic low. a historic low.
Wow.
But it's a historic low that is still too high, especially when Americans stop and consider that each number represents a human life. New York City killed more babies in 2015 than we lost soldiers in the entire Vietnam War.
And you know how many presidents that we could have had in that, how many people that could have cured cancer, how many geniuses that was murdered, how many, I mean, it's insane the potential lives that were taken that could have come out of, it's just, it's sickening is what it is. I'm at a loss for words because it's just so sad.
Well, let's look at another angle that will totally irritate people. It's not a new angle, but we keep getting more and more information. The story up at Breitbart is called Lila Rose Says New York Abortion Law is Cash Cow for Planned Parenthood's Abortion Industry. And she said Wednesday that New York's newest abortion law is a cash cow for the abortion industry, offering her remarks in an interview on Breitbart News. She explained, a late-term abortion can cost up to $15,000. We're talking about potentially tens of thousands or at least thousands of dollars for elective late-term abortions. So this is a cash cow for willing abortionists.
Yep.
A cash cow for kids. Let me just say it in these terms. People are getting rich off of killing babies.
Absolutely are.
Sounds like the mafia.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
And the mafia, they have some rules about killing people and stuff. There's certain places they won't go or certain things they won't do. You know, So this law is one of the most radical laws our country has ever seen, and New York, because they have this Democrat stronghold in the state assembly, in the state senate, and now with Governor Cuomo, they are celebrating abortion throughout all 9 months. New York has lost a sense of caring for women's health here. This isn't about women's health. This isn't even about women's rights. This is about an aggressive abortion lobby that is helped by its seats in the Senate, in the Assembly, Governor Cuomo, who's been hugely backed by Planned Parenthood. This is about the abortion lobby having a heyday in New York. It's not about safety. It's certainly not about caring for women and our rights. This is about expanding the abortion industry in the state of New York. Now to a dollar fact, and I've got another story we're going to go to on this. Planned Parenthood received $563.8 billion from varying levels of government across 2017 to 2018, amounting to 34% of its revenue for the period. I don't mean to be flippant here. We've got a government shutdown right now over $5.8
billion.
Planned Parenthood benefits from tax exemption. How does a company like that continue to be a non-profit corporation? Somebody's profiting.
Oh, absolutely. And what they do is they harvest baby parts and sell them.
Well, we read that in New York in 2015 that the overall abortion numbers were lower. Let's look, and this came out before this law went into effect. I read this a few weeks ago. Planned Parenthood, the largest performer of abortions in the U.S., has released its annual report. Isn't that interesting? They give annual reports on what they do. And its critics object to the organization's increase in abortions and financial profits, even as the number of adoption referrals has fallen. So less people go in there, more abortions. The big business of abortion is evident in this report, as Planned Parenthood turned a profit of nearly $250 million. And you know, we used a quote back there from Lila Rose that used a huge $1 billion. I would have to look that up, and I think there may have been an error in what that was written. So, but they turned a profit, a not-for-profit organization turned a profit of $250 million, a 150% increase, according to its own accounts. So we're paying big bucks to an organization, a nonprofit organization, that makes record profits. Not-for-profit. Are we talking the same language? Are we speaking English that means the same thing here? Because we must be speaking Martian.
Absolutely.
Because it not making sense in English. Planned Parenthood pushes talking points about health care, and the fact remains that Planned Parenthood is the nation's number one abortion vendor, profiting by violently ending life. Pregnancy is not a disease cured by abortion. Think about that. We got people dying every day of diseases, and we're pouring money into something that isn't a solution to anything other than death.
Death.
You know, if we really cared about women's health, I'm talking we as a nation,
right?
Then let's funnel that money into something that saves women's lives.
Absolutely.
Something that, you know, if it's, you know, cervical cancer, let's focus on something like that that only a woman has to deal with. Breast cancer. Well, men can get breast. By and large, it's a female disease.
Right.
So, you know, they're... millennials and young adults prefer that tax money go to federally qualified health centers instead of Planned Parenthood. She cited a Student for Life poll of 18 to 34 year olds conducted in January, whose respondents showed a 3-to-1 preference against tax dollars for Planned Parenthood. That is encouraging. Their report claims that there are 12 million supporters and claims its contraceptive service averted about 400,000 pregnancies. I'm not sure how you can know that a pregnancy is averted. That's like saying the flu shots averted X number of... If you didn't get it, then how do you know that it... Yeah. See? Stuff like that, just... You're sitting over there and you're shaking your head and you have a look on your face like, what are you even talking about? And you can't talk.
Right. It just... That kind of stuff is just... Oh, my goodness.
We get all kind of undercover videos and different things like that of Planned Parenthood employees and big-time leaders, right, and stuff saying things that are despicable, inhumane. Again, if they were talking about dogs,
right,
that people would be going crazy.
Well, and if it was one... Because I've seen where the Planned Parenthood executives say, oh, well, those were made up. It's so many of them that it's not made up. These are the, I mean, and one of them was one of the big Planned Parenthood executives.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a not made up thing. These are Planned Parenthood execs that are making big, big money by selling baby parts. And I mean, one of the doctors actually was talking about making a payment on one of his vehicles.
Yeah.
And that would make his next payment. I mean, and joking about it. They've done interviews with techs that have quit because they were having nightmares of having to reconstruct the baby's bodies to make sure that they've gotten them completely all out. And the techs were having nightmares of having to do that. These people are just... It and the money involved is just insane.
Let's look at a news story, and I believe this week is when it happened. January. Not so much press on this one. Iowa had made a law that when a heartbeat was found, that abortions couldn't take place. An Iowa judge struck down that law Tuesday, basing an abortion ban on a fetal heartbeat, blocking the implementation of one of the strictest abortion bans in the U.S. I'm extremely disappointed in today's court ruling because I believe that if death is determined when a heart stops beating, then a beating heart indicates life, Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds said in a statement. Polk County District Judge Michael Hubert decided the case immediately because no facts were in dispute. His 9-page ruling issued the 22nd cited a 2018 Iowa Supreme Court decision striking down a 72-hour waiting period for abortion on the grounds that a woman's right to decide whether to terminate a pregnancy is a fundamental right under the Iowa Constitution. So in the same week, we allowed abortions to go up until birth, and we struck down a state's individual right to make a law that was restrictive of abortion. I want to just ask this point blank period. Why are people willing to go to hell over abortion? Because unless they repent, not say they're sorry, not apologize, but repent, they're going to hell.
Absolutely.
I don't know how much plainer to say it. They're going straight to hell. So why is abortion so important that people are willing to go to hell to kill babies?
It all comes down to a convenience. And they're willing to risk going to hell for convenience?
Don't get us wrong. We're not saying that you cannot be forgiven of having an abortion, giving an abortion, participating in an abortion. God, that it's not the unforgivable sin.
Absolutely not. I mean, God will forgive you as long as you ask for forgiveness and repent from that. God will forgive that and will cleanse you from any guilt. If you ask, God will cleanse you from the guilt. He will take that away from you and will completely forgive you as long as you ask for forgiveness and repent from it. I mean, he's in that business. That's what he does.
But he's also in the business of holding people accountable.
Amen. That's exactly right. He absolutely is in the business of holding people accountable and will do that.
Not may do that. Not
will
could
do that.
Do that, but you're 100% right. He will do that.
Absolutely. But the forgiveness is there for the taking when you ask for it and do the steps you're supposed to do.
It would be appropriate, I think, to explain that repentance means that you admit what you did, you are sorry for what you did, and with all capital letters, A, N, and D, you turn around and go the opposite direction and you stop doing what it was that you repented of.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a doctor that performed abortions, and he speaks out against abortion now and is extremely pro-life now. And that is true repentance. He's a Christian man. He admits that he did abortions, and he tells you how many he has done. He's done thousands. And God has forgiven him because he asked for forgiveness. He was sincerely sorry for what he's done. He asked for forgiveness, and he has completely turned his life around and speaks out against it and is a motivational speaker and goes and talks and educates and goes to Right to Life's groups and speaks out, and he does what he can do now for Right to Life. You know, because he knows what he was doing. He knows he was killing babies.
Governor Cuomo is a Catholic.
Wow.
I've read where many Catholics believe he should be excommunicated.
Absolutely.
I've read where Catholic bishops and priests are outraged. One of the cardinals here, I think it's Cardinal Dolan, who is a well-known cardinal, asked this question. This is progressive. All people have rights. The immigrant, the poor, the pregnant woman, and her baby. All God's children, Reverend Martin Luther King would insist, are equal and have rights, the cardinal concluded, recalling the recent observance of Dr. Martin Luther King Day. In a statement published on the state website, Governor Cuomo called the signing a historic victory for New Yorkers, and that in the face of federal government intent on rolling back Roe v. Wade, the women's reproductive rights, I promised that we would enact this critical legislation within the first 30 days of the new session, and we got it done. Here's what happened, folks. This had been stopped in New York year after year after year because the New York legislature was not controlled by Democrats in both sides of the legislature. So it could never get passed. Let me just say this. New York, you allowed this to happen when you gave control of your state legislature and the governor's office to the Democrats. Democrats now control the House and the Senate and the governor's office in New York. Nothing that the Republicans in those bodies could do to stop it.
Well, now that should speak volumes. Just saying.
So I'm going to continue on this path. the path of excommunicating the person that is celebrating murdering babies. I'm going to say this, and I've said part of it before, but if you vote for somebody who will not vote against abortion, then you might as well be voting for abortion yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
If you are sitting in the church pew on Sunday and you are voting for people who okay abortions, if you yourself are okay with abortions, then you need to get on your knees.
Oh.
And be doing some repenting.
Yep.
That we just talked about. You know, pussyfooting around has gotten us to where we are now.
Yep.
You know, we need preachers in the pulpits preaching that abortion is wrong.
Absolutely.
Point blank, period. If you support abortion, you are sinning.
Absolutely.
It's got to be that way. Or else, as you mentioned, we're going to have to say, God, I tried. But, you know, not I did my best, but I tried.
Right.
You know, doing your best and trying are two different things.
It's black and white. You either are for murder and abortion, or you're pro-life. There's no gray area. You cannot go, well, I wouldn't do it myself, but it's okay if somebody else wants to do it. I wouldn't take their right away. You can't sit on that fence, because if you say that, you are pro-choice. Mm-hmm. You are pro-death. You are for the right of someone to take a baby's life. And if you are not pro-death, then you would say, absolutely not. That mother has no right to take the life of that baby. That baby has a heartbeat. That baby has the same fundamental right to life as that mother has. And that baby had that fundamental right to life as soon as it was conceived. There is no sitting on the fence going, it's not for me, but I'm not going to stop Sally from doing it. You got to be out there and say, you know, Sally, that baby had a heartbeat at 19 days. Did you realize that that baby had a heartbeat before you knew you were pregnant? Because it did. Most women do not know at 19 days that they are even pregnant. But that baby has a heartbeat at 19 days. I.e., alive. That baby is alive at birth, at conception. Because at the minute of conception, everything that child is going to be is determined right then. It's determined how tall it's going to be when it's full grown. It's determined what color hair, what color eyes. Everything that child is going to be is determined right then at conception. Everything. It's blood type. It's everything is determined at conception. The only thing that's going to take place from conception on is growth and development. Because right then, that is a child. That's a life.
Mm-hmm.
Conception is, and it's not add instant water and have a rabbit. It's not add instant water and have a puppy. It's a human life. It's man and woman, baby. It's not man and woman, puppy. Not man and woman and kitten. Man and woman and a human baby. Sorry, I'll get off my soapbox.
No, I'm glad you were there, because I'm about to close the show, and that's a perfect way to draw things together. Normally, I would probably say something to the effect of, but there is hope. And there is hope. That's another story.
There's a hope in Jesus Christ.
But I want this story to stick in people's craw. The people who it's going to stick in their craw know about the hope of Jesus.
Absolutely.
And again, if you don't know about the hope of Jesus, contact us and we will go there. So I'll include that here. But let me just read two last paragraphs to put an exclamation point on the outrage that there should be. New York was the first state to legalize abortion in 1970. Governor Cuomo directed the 408-foot spire on the World Trade Center, the Governor Mario M. Cuomo Bridge, the Kosciuszko, I think, Bridge, and the Alfred E. Smith Building in Albany to be lit pink to, quote, celebrate this achievement and shine a bright light for the rest of the nation to follow. Under the Reproductive Health Act, is what this is called, non-doctors are now allowed to conduct abortions.
Oh, my.
And the procedure could be done until the mother's due date if the woman's health is endangered or if the fetus is not viable. The previous law only allowed abortions after 24 weeks of pregnancy if a woman's life was at risk.
Non-doctors.
That's one aspect of it we didn't even get in to discuss.
Non-doctor. People listen to that. Non-doctors. Not only can they kill this child up until the day it's due, but a non-doctor can do it. A non-doctor.
That's looking out for the mother's health.
Absolutely. That's looking out for a mother's health. A non-doctor can do an abortion on your teenage daughter.
Without your permission.
Without your permission or knowledge. Absolutely. A non-doctor. Absolutely. Wow. Non-doctor. Like that.
Father, forgive us of our sins. Thanks for being with us, folks. And go out and do the right thing.